design is there.
You are listening to 91.5 FM.
Today I'd like to talk to you about the kingdom of God and having a kingdom view of reality. There is a false perception of reality that's out there in the world today, and there is a true perception of reality that God gives us in the truth of His Word. And it's a very royal view. God wants us to have a royal view, a noble view, a glorious view, a kingdom view, perception of reality, because that is the truth. Do you have a kingdom view and perception of reality? Very noble. Or have you had your perception of reality been diluted and damaged by the deceptions of the devil that are at large in the world today? A false perception of reality. Well, let's take a look today at the kingdom of God, according to God's scriptures, the truth, and having a kingdom view of reality so that you might understand and grasp even better today the royal story that you are a part of, and so be inspired to live out your Christian lives with all the greater nobility, inspiration, and zeal inspired by the Holy Spirit. So let's take a look today at the kingdom of God and having the right view of the world and reality, the kingdom view. What can we say of that? Well, first of all, God would teach us to beware of this false view over on this side, for there is a devil in the world, an evil one who wants to give you a false perception of reality. And it's really everywhere in the world today. He doesn't want you to have a kingdom view. He doesn't want you to have a right view. He doesn't want anybody to be a part of the kingdom of God. He wants to establish his own kingdom called the kingdom of darkness. And he has his preachers in the world who are going to give a false perception of reality. He gives you especially the preachers of Hollywood. You know, anytime you watch a movie, you really get involved in that worldview, don't you? I mean, you come out of Superman thinking you can fly, out of Indiana Jones thinking you can crack a whip. You go into whatever reality that they're painting for you on the big screen, and it changes and can dilute and damage your kingdom view of reality, because it's all over with videos, with the news. They're changing your perceptions of reality. They're propagandists. Movies, TV shows, and everything by video can be very damaging. They are often, and usually are, the devil's preachers to dilute the kingdom view from you. And there are so many churches in the world today that are distorting the kingdom view because the preachers themselves are not of the kingdom of God, but are of the kingdom of darkness. And so I would advise you to be careful of all of the devil's deceptions, but most especially video. Anything that goes into your eyes by your screens, any screen, be careful. It's trying to change your perception of reality and rob from you the royal story that you're a part of according to God's truth. So beware of that one. And what is the perception that they preach over on this side? Let's just say, for one, they say the devil wants to teach you that you came from an explosion. All right, so 20 billion years ago, something exploded that didn't exist by a power that was not in existence and somehow created an ordered universe. That's what they teach, that you are the result of an explosion. Then, of course, briefly here, you are not really created in God's image. You're just an animal. You're just an ape. You're just from a brute, and so you should behave like brutes. Survival of the fittest. Beat your fellow man. Your ultimate ancestor really is just a rock, because the rains fell on the rocks and the chemicals came off, and somehow that's your great ancestor. So look at how dumb this is. That's dumb as a rock. But people believe it. Then what the devil really wants to teach people is this one. Here's a dunce cap, a guy sitting on a little stool with a dunce cap. You can be your own king. You can be your own God. You can create your own reality. There is no truth. There are no morals. There are no rules. There is no heaven. There is no king above. You are the king. You create your own world. You create your own reality. And so you're really a dunce. He's made you into one. But that's what the world is believing. It's all around us today. That's the perception that people have, that they can be their own king, that there is no God. And so in a word, it's chaos. That's the perception that is held by so many in our world all about us today. How about you? Are you believing the kingdom of God and having a royal kingdom view of the world? Now, we're moving over to this side now, the truth. Now, of course, you guys know the kingdom of God, and you do have a royal view. But we got to be careful. Why is that? Because we're still passing through the devil's territory. You're still being hit daily by a barrage of blue screens and stories and news reports and movies and false preachers and such things that are constantly throwing this at you to at least distort, damage, and dilute your kingdom view, your royal view of your life and the kingdom of God, and at best, maybe to destroy it from you completely. So let's talk now about the right view and perception of reality. That's going over to this side right now. What does God teach us in His Word, His book, His truth, about a right perception of reality? Well, the first thing He teaches us is this one over here, is that indeed there is a king. We are in a kingdom, friends, and all of reality is to be seen in royal terms. Why? Well, let's take a look here at Psalms 47. It says, "Clap your hands, all peoples, shout to God with loud shouts of joy, for the Lord, the Most High, is awesome, a great king over all the earth." And so we got to get this into our minds first in a perception of reality, that we are in a kingdom. All reality is in royal terms in God's book. He is the king. And so we're not in a democracy. We're not in a republic. We're not in elected officials. He is king by order of who he is, by the power, the authority of being the only uncreated one true God. So we are in a kingdom. So say the word kingdom. Kingdom. You're part of a royal story, my friends. The second thing we know is that if there's a king, there is also a kingdom. We need to have this view of the world. What is the kingdom of the great king who is God? Well, let's open up to Psalm 95. Let's read that. Verses 3 to 5, "The Lord is a great God and a great king above all the gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land." So what is God's kingdom then, according to that? Everything. Basically, he owns everything. He's the king over all the earth. The sea, the stars, the earth itself, he created it, he's king. So in the more general sense, his kingdom extends over everything. But in the more specific sense, it is to be over the kingdom of men. He's to rule in our hearts, right? And so God made you to be a king. But with a little k, under the great king, capital K, who is God. And what is God's kingdom more specifically is wherever God rules in the hearts of men, where they acknowledge him as the royal sovereign majesty and obey him. That is the kingdom of God. And it was supposed to be over everything. God was to rule over man, and man was to rule over everything. So God's kingdom was to be everywhere, and especially in the hearts of men. So that's the second thing. We have a king, we have a kingdom, but the third thing we see about reality is that there is a dragon in this story. It's really true. There's a dragon in reality. "A real one, a prince of darkness and an enemy of God, who mounted an attack and still does on God's kingdom." And how? Especially by attacking man to draw man away from God, that man would obey the devil rather than God. And so the dragon wanted to establish his own kingdom, a kingdom of darkness and of death. If you read in the Bible, Jesus says he was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he's a liar and the father of lies. So who is he? He's a rebel, and he is a dragon. For we read in Revelation 12, the great dragon, say the word dragon, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He's great in power, this dragon. And actually that word in the Greek for dragon there, you'll probably recognize this in the Greek, drakon. Does that sound like dragon? It's the exact word. He is. So in reality, we have a king, we have a kingdom, and there is a dragon, a rebel dragon fighting. What a royal story you're a part of. Did you remember this today? What a story. He leads an army of fallen angels, this evil serpent, this dragon, in rebellion against God. That he is great in power. He has great power over the earth to lead men into rebellion against God, to establish his own kingdom of darkness. And he's a deceiver of the whole world, says the scripture. And like any dragon in any story you've ever heard, he has powers of sorcery because he casts a spell over all mankind, namely lies. He teaches what we saw over here on this board, that you come from a rock, an explosion. You're cruising through space at 2.8 million miles an hour. You're just an animal. You're your own god. He is a sorcerer, and he deceives the whole world by his lies. Therefore, John said, 1 John 5:19, we know that we, Christians, are of God, and the whole world is in the power of the evil one. So there's a dragon in this story. That's number three. The fourth thing we learn about reality, the true perception of reality, is this, that there is a kingdom of darkness and a dragon's lair, if you will. There is a castle, there is a dungeon in that castle where he keeps his prisoners in chains. Because what did Jesus say when he came? He said, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. What's that mean? You're captive. You're captured by the devil to do his will. So he's captured the world. What a story. That there's a king, a kingdom, a dragon, a rebel, and he has established a dark kingdom, a kingdom of darkness, and he's captured and put people in chains. You can picture in this story over God's kingdom, there settled a cloud, a veil, a shroud, a dark covering of death settled over all of God's kingdom of light, a curse, namely through Adam's fall, and it's covered us all so that none can escape the dragon's power. This is what the scripture teaches us. If we're not rescued, we'd be doomed to an eternal dungeon forever called hell at the judgment of the great day. What a story that you are a part of. This is a royal story. We also know in this story that there is a lady. Here we have Olivia de Havilland, beautiful lady. Just passed away recently, by the way. A captured lady in the story who's in the dragon's lair. She is held captive in chains, and she's in big trouble. She's a princess. She's a maiden in chains. She's a heroine captured in that castle who needed rescue. This is really the truth, because who is this, the lady? The church. Good one there, Michael. It's the church. For she was in great distress, for we'd all sinned against God, stained by sins, unfit to return to God. And to borrow the words of Jeremiah 13, God said, your feet have stumbled on the twilight mountains. You looked for light, and it turned into gloom and darkness. Because you would not listen, my soul weeps in secret for your pride. My eyes weep bitterly and run down with tears because the Lord's flock has been taken captive. That's the church, the woman captured, a heroine, a princess in chains in the dragon's castle. And Isaiah puts words to the woman by saying, Isaiah 64, she says, in our sins we've been a long time, and shall we be saved? She wonders. We have all become like one who's unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. So, that's number five. There's a woman in this story, a princess, and she is held in chains in the dragon's lair, in his castle. But the sixth thing we know in this story, the great news of this royal story, is that we know also that there is a prince who comes to set the lady free. And he comes with a great sword to fight against the enemy. We read here, the people who walked in darkness, Isaiah 9, have seen a great light. And those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Can you picture this? The woman is in this dark castle, in chains, sleeping the sleep of death under the devil's, the dragon's spell. But a light shines in her cell. And her eyes are too sleepy to wake up and see it. But it's her hero arriving to rescue her. This is God's story. This, I tell you, is the truth. This is what you're living in, the true perception of reality. A light comes to her door, a hero. For Isaiah 9 says, to us a son is given, and the what will be upon his shoulder? The government. That means he's going to be who? A king. He is the prince. For his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So say the word prince. This is the truth, that there is a royal prince who's come to save us. This is the royal son. This is the story that we're all a part of and have a part to play in. It is the kingdom of God coming. Because remember, when Jesus arrived, when the prince came down and started to enter into his ministry, what did he say? Repent and believe in the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So the kingdom, God's kingdom, is now breaking into darkness with light because the prince has come. And then we know that Jesus said, I have come to bear witness to the truth. So he wields his sword. And throughout his lifetime, Jesus set the lady free, started to, for he conquered the devil, the dragon, by his sword and beat him. For he was teaching in one of the synagogues one day, Luke 13 tells us, on the Sabbath, and there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. Remember the story? And she was bent over for 18 years and couldn't straighten herself. And Jesus saw her. When he saw her, he called her and said to her, woman, you are freed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight and praised God. And the scribes and Pharisees said, basically, you're doing these kinds of things by the devil, by the dragon's power, that you're making these miracles and such things. And Jesus answered them what? He says, no, listen carefully. Every kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. It's laid waste. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself and his kingdom. Then how will his kingdom stand? So notice, it's a kingdom. God says the devil has a kingdom. But he says, but if it's by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So notice, Jesus came to bring the kingdom and to conquer the devil's kingdom. And John says the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil, the works of the dragon. The next thing we know here is that the conquering of the dragon can only take place, and this is the beautiful part of God's royal story, can only take place truly through the death of the prince, who has to then give his life in battle for his bride. What an amazing story you're a part of. Because Jesus ascended that hill as to a field of battle. When he ascended that hill to the cross, to the great field of battle, he there bled for you. And he died for you, his bride-to-be. And set us free by his blood, breaking the devil's power. For truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not continue in the house forever. The son continues forever. So if the son makes you free, you're going to be free indeed. He makes us free. This is what he came to do. It is finished, he said on the cross. He accomplished his mission to save his bride, to set her free. Revelation 1:5 says, he has set us free from our sins by his blood and made us a, who knows it? He's made us a kingdom and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we're freed and the dragon's power broken, but the woman has not yet come to life. The prison doors are open, but she is still sleeping the sleep of death. And so we could, if you will, here's Jesus, by the way, slaying the dragon. Put that one up there. He slays him at the cross. But the woman, then, having been set free, still has to be awakened from sleep by the kiss of her prince. Because even after Jesus dies on the cross and slays the dragon, his power breaks us free, we still were not yet personally saved until we came to faith by the preaching of the gospel. So the preaching of the gospel is the kiss of the prince, where he comes personally to you and awakes you up, like we read in Ephesians 4, remember? Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. So he wakes up his bride. He wakes her up by the preaching of the gospel. For God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not condemned. So get this. This is really cool. By faith, we come into Christ's kingdom. And by faith, Christ's kingdom comes into us. Let me say that again. By faith, we come into the kingdom of Christ, his rule in our hearts. By faith, the kingdom of God comes into us. That's the mystery of the kingdom already at work in you, because the Pharisees asked when the kingdom of God was coming. Jesus answered them, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed like an outward kingdom. Nor will they say, lo, here it is or there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It's the rule of God in your hearts, and it's already begun. Do you believe in Christ as your king? Do you obey him? Then the kingdom of God has come within you through faith. And that's a beautiful thing, by the kiss of the prince. So I want you to know today what a royal story you are a part of. And we ought to have a majestic, royal, noble view as we live out our lives as Christians. Prison doors were opened. The bride then, look at this picture. She's awake. She's colorful. She's alive. And what do we do now? We love our prince. He is our hero. We love Jesus Christ. He is our hero. And not only is she made alive, the bride, the church of Christ, but we're also made into warriors. This is, if you can see that far, this is a picture of a knight in shining armor. You are now armed. Jesus says basically to you, you've been set free, but we still got to pass through the devil's kingdom. Get up, follow me, and here's my sword. And you're going to be in good shape, because I'll make you more than a conqueror through him who loved you. So we actually are really knights in shining armor. Do you see yourself that way? This is what the scriptures teach is reality. This over here isn't reality. Knights in shining armor. Because what do we read of you? You have a helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, a belt of truth, the equipment of the gospel of peace. You have a shield of faith for your left hand. You have all prayer. And you have a sword called the word of God in your right hand to conquer the devil. What are you then but a knight? This is not Greg talking to you. This is God's word, that you are more than conquerors through him who loved you. And you now can slay the dragon too, because the prince himself has come to live inside of you. For greater is he who is now in you than he who is in the world. And so you conquer by him who lives within you. You are a knight, and you ought to see yourselves as such. How's that going to change your life? If you start to picture yourself in truth as God has really described you. And then we also learn that there is a final battle. You know, any story that you've ever heard, any epic story, has to have a final battle, doesn't it? And we have a climactic battle here at the end of time, where we fight and wage the good warfare, holding faith in a good conscience. We live in the world, but we're not carrying on a worldly war, says the scriptures. We destroy strongholds and we conquer by Christ. But at the end of time, we also know that the devil, it says, is let loose from his prison for a little while at the very end of time. And he comes out to deceive the nations who are at the four corners of the earth. In other words, you can picture him rising from his castle with these great wings and going out to gather battle, men for battle for the great final battle. And he gathers his hordes of demons to muster themselves against God, Christ, and his kingdom, the church. And we read their numbers like the sand of the sea. He gathered them for battle, and they marched up over the broad earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. So at the end of time, there has to be a climactic battle where the devil seems to gain the upper hand for a little time. What a climax! Who can save the bride? Who can save the knights in shining armor when the devil rises up in strength? Well, God, the Father, has reserved that honor and glory of the final death blow for his Son, the Prince of Peace. Because we read that when the dragon comes with his Antichrist at the end of time, it's a very quick battle. For 2 Thessalonians 2 says, then the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by his appearing and his coming. Boom, and it's over. But look at that. We have a hero. What a royal story you are a part of. And this is the truth. At the return of the king. He came once, he saved, he went, we fight, and he's coming again. This time, though, in royal splendor and full power as the king to save us, to set all things right. Because at his coming, the Bible says that the kingdom of God will then come into full view for all to see. At that time, there will be crowns and there will be rewards for his people with jubilant shouts of joy. What an amazing story, amen? And as you might expect, at the end of any great story, God, of course, writing this one, the truth, you have a royal wedding, a royal marriage, where the prince will then marry his bride. And that's exactly what happens at the end of the Bible, that Jesus, the prince, the son of the Father, who saved us from the dragon, awakened us, we are his bride, he comes to save us, and we marry him. Namely, we have a close intimacy with our Lord and Prince forever and ever. For I heard heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, says John, like the sound of many waters and like the sound of mighty thunder peals, crying, Alleluia! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. The wedding bells will chime and ring through the whole world. And I want you, therefore, to know today that you are part of a great royal story, and a story that is still unfolding, and it is the truth. And in Christ, you are already set free. You're rescued, awakened, knighted, armed, royal sons and daughters of the King, and predestined for and racing towards complete victory at the return of our King. So I want to ask you then, is your life then a cacophony like some heavy metal music or a dreary song like the devil would say? Oh no, it is trumpets and brass and fanfare. Hold fast this view of life, for we are heading to a jubilant end. And last of all, I'll put this one on here. It says, and they lived happily ever after. I mean, God's story really does end with a happily ever after. This is the end of the story, which we're going to enjoy forever. For Revelation 11 says, the seventh angel will blow his trumpet, and there will be loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Amen.